We can turn to God's Word together now in Isaiah chapter 40, page 724, and we'll read the whole chapter together. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and the goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They looked for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground that he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He will bring out the starry host one by one. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. May God bless to us that reading from his own holy word. Can we turn together then to Isaiah 40? Maybe if we can get the words on the screen again. And although Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, is an Old Testament book, it's often referred to as the fifth gospel because it speaks of God's salvation. Isaiah means God saves. And here in chapter 40 that we read together, the situation in Israel at the time was the northern kingdom of Israel had been taken into captivity, 722 BC, and the southern kingdom of Judah was rife with evil and idolatry. The Assyrians, the kingdom of Assyria, was a major threat, and that would be followed and replaced by the Babylonians. And God would use these dominant world powers to purge the nation of Israel, because as a just God, he had to deal with the sin of his people. Yet throughout all of this, a remnant of God's people would remain. And Isaiah speaks of one who would come, a servant of the Lord, who would bring salvation. So we're going to look at this wonderful chapter together under four headings, four short headings. You see that in your order of service. A God who comforts. We see also a God who is consistent. Thirdly, we'll see a God who cares. And fourthly and finally, a God with no comparison. So first of all, a God who comforts. The most performed piece of music in all of the world's history is Handel's Messiah. It speaks of peace, it speaks of purity, it speaks of redemption, it speaks of resurrection, and it speaks of God's comfort. And it begins with these first three verses that we read together of Isaiah chapter 40. The chapter speaks of where God's people will be in exile. Isaiah's giving a message that they would need later in exile. God will comfort his people. His divine judgment would be coupled with his mercy. And while Israel will be punished for their sins, yet God's mercy will have compassion. In his mercy, he will restore their land. And Isaiah looks ahead to this time of captivity and also restoration, but he also looks further ahead to the time of the coming of Jesus Christ himself. So the two major themes, really, if you look at chapters 40 to 48 of Isaiah, and it actually happens in chapter 40 itself, is God's desire and God's ability to save. He desires to save his people, and he is able to save his people. We see his desire in the first 11 verses of chapter 40. We see his ability in the second part, down to verse 31. And in these first verses, they herald the coming of the Messiah. And these first words are words of comfort. And then there's mention of preparing a way. And then the big announcement, verse 11, your God is coming. Your God is coming. Here is your God. Comfort my people. Comfort my people. It's an emphasis to show that God is going to greatly comfort his people despite all their trials and difficulties, because the covenant relationship with his people will still stand. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So although they were suffering divine judgment, Yahweh remains faithful. God had not forsaken them as they had thought. Why do you say and complain, my way is hidden from the Lord? Verse 27. My cause is disregarded by my God. Friends, you are going through trials today. All of us, whoever we are, go through great trials as Christians. Part of the package is suffering. And these trials come in different ways. When trials come, it's not if they come, as the song says, when trials come, we need to be able to cope with them. For some today, it might be sickness. For others, it might be problems at home. For others, it might be bereavement. For others, it might be breakdowns in relationships. You know, these things are here today. And maybe you're wondering if God really knows. You're wondering if God really cares, because it is so hard for you. But he does care. And he can comfort us in our time of trouble. And if your life is falling apart, then there is a place you can go to. And there's one who knows your situation. He says in Isaiah 51:12, "I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass?" And Isaiah 56 or 66 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem." And we are reminded of these great words that the Apostle Paul gives us in the New Testament. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." Friends, take comfort in God. Take comfort from his word that tells you that he cares for you. And he wants to comfort you. Take comfort from the fact that he is here today. Take comfort from his presence. He is with you in your trial, whatever trial that might be. And take comfort from his people, who they themselves have gone through similar trials. And they can comfort you with the comfort that they themselves have received from God. "Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to them." We are to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as we minister, whether we're in Smithton or in Raigmore, visiting the marginalized, the sick, sad. We can be gentle. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Are we gentle as Christians? Are we gentle as leaders? Jesus is gentle. God is gentle. We need to be gentle and try and understand what people are going through, because God understands what we're going through. So God is a God of comfort. He is also a God who is consistent. Sometimes we have good days, sometimes we have bad days, sometimes we're good, sometimes we're bad, but God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And he wants to reveal his goodness to us. He wants to show his consistent and his constant love towards us if we trust in him. Because he is a covenant-keeping God, and he makes promises to his people, and his character is consistent with his promises. What he says he will do, and he will do what he says. He is consistent. His character is consistent with his promises. And we see here the promises of God that he's going to sort everything out. And the people here were despondent, they were distressed, they were depressed, they were dismayed, they were confused. But he says, "Look, I'm going to sort it all out. A voice calling, prepare the way." This highway of holiness, this picture of transformation from the transition that they were going through. Think of Isaiah chapter 35. It's a great picture of transformation. And that's what we see here. The rough ground is made level. The path of the righteous is made smooth. And the glory of the Lord is revealed. So this wasteland is really a picture of trials and suffering. And as we said, none of us are immune from these things. Here Isaiah told God's people to prepare to seek, to see God work in transformation, transforming their own situation and transforming their nation. And of course, John the Baptist uses these words himself when he challenges the people in the New Testament to prepare for the coming of Jesus. In those days, says Matthew 3:3, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, prepare for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And friends, we see here in this chapter and in the New Testament that our God is a God who keeps his promises. A voice says, people are like grass, but the word of the Lord stands forever. People are compared to grass that withers away and flowers that wither away. We are mortal, but God's word is eternal, and God's word is unfailing. Everything in this world changes. 17 years ago, we were here, and this building has changed. A lot of you have changed, and I've changed, but God doesn't change. Nothing will stay the same for long. But God's word and God's promises are true for you today, just as they were true 17 years ago or 70 years ago or yesterday. He is unchanging. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful for our teaching, and it is true. And it makes us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So only in God's eternal word do we find everlasting solutions to our problems and to our needs. So we need to come and confess to our God today. So he is a God who is consistent, and he is a God who cares, thirdly. We are to behold our God who cares and who comes to his people. And this is a great cause of celebration for the people here. Lift up your voice and shout, verse 9. Good tidings of great joy. We're told in Isaiah 59 what was happening. He saw that there was no one. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene for his people, for you, for me. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on the righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation of his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. There was no one. We couldn't sort it out. So God comes in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has come. And you know, the one who is mighty to save, the one who has a strong arm and is full of power, is also the one who uses the same arm to lift up his people. He is gentle. Look at verse 11. Maybe read verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. We're expecting that. And he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. And it is the same arms that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those that have young. the most vulnerable in the community, the lambs, those that have young, he carries them close to his heart in the fold of his cloak. The shepherd carries those too weak to walk. His arm, which ruled with power over his enemies, is here tenderly caring for his flock. So there is a consistency between God's majesty and God's mercy. It is only God who can protect us. It is only God who can care for us this way, because he knows each of us by name. He extends his love to us. He shows his tender care towards his people, like a shepherd guiding his flock and providing for them abundantly, as we were singing in Psalm 23. Psalm 78, but here, from there, he leads his people through the desert like a flock. So that's what he's doing for you today, if you trust in him. He who scattered Israel, says Jeremiah 31, will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. Friend, today, although it might not seem that way, he is watching over you. He knows you, and he knows what's going through your mind and what's breaking your heart and what's making it so difficult for you, so very difficult for you. When the great shepherd appears, says Peter, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away, because our God is consistent, our God is caring. And isn't that comforting to know that today? I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep, but not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. One multitude of every tribe, nation, color, creed, language. Who are these? They are those who have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. He is the one who has trodden the winepress on his own. He is the one who went through the blood, securing the victory, keeping going and keeping going, just like these men on D-Day. Even though there was great opposition, there was great suffering, there was the great drops of blood, there was Gethsemane, but he kept going, and he kept going for your freedom. Finally, and fourthly, we have a God without comparison. These verses from 12 to 31, God has no weak equal. He is able to save. He's an omnipotent. He is the creator God. He holds history in his hand. Have you not heard? Have you not seen how great your God is? How majestic he is? Who can you compare to him? Nothing compares to you. How dare we make images, he says, if God is holy? To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there's no one like me. My purpose will stand. Are you beholding your God today? Here is your God. Here is the God who saved you. Here is the God who loves you. Here is the God who cares for you, who comforts you, and who is so consistent. He sees our distress. He knows our need. He doesn't grow weary. He gives strength to the weary. His strength is our source of strength. So we are to trust in him alone. Those who trust will soar on wings. Those who trust will run. Those who trust will walk. Even the fittest get tired at times. We get tired emotionally. We get tired physically. We get tired spiritually. And it's not easy when we come with our weary minds and bodies and emotions, trying to sort out the stress and the difficulties in our own strength can be absolutely exhausting. But today we're told we're not meant to fight these things ourselves. We're not meant to sort these things out in our own strength. We are simply to trust. He will give strength when you're weary. He will increase your power when you're weak. No matter what's going on in your life today, God is greater than any obstacle or any difficulty that you may be facing today. He is greater, and His grace is sufficient. And His power never diminishes. He's never too busy to listen. We're reminded of the words of Horatius Bonar. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary soul, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. So come to Him today. Come with your fears. Come with your phobias. Come with your depression. Come with your distress. Come with your confusion. Come with your anxiety. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. This is our God, the Seven King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Seventh King. Is your hope found in Christ alone? Is He your light, your strength, your song? Do you trust in Him and Him alone? Because this is your God. He is your comforter, your all in all. He is consistent, He is caring, and nothing and no one compares to Him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You are our God. We thank You that You've spoken into lives today. Maybe people who came in here weary, worn, and sad. But we thank You, Lord, that the promises of Your word make us happy and glad. Glad that we can come to You. Glad that we can pour out our hearts to You. Glad that we have a friend who stays closer than any brother. Glad that we have a shepherd who cares for His sheep and His lambs. And glad that You will fulfill all Your promises for us. And You will present us perfect on that great day. So we pray, Lord, for encouragement for us all. And that every one of us would trust in Christ alone. Amen.